This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The 18th International AIDS Conference, held in Vienna in 2010, included a high-profile statement called the Vienna Declaration. The declaration has been endorsed by over 20,000 groups, organizations, and individuals. It rests firmly on the principle that drug policy should be based on science, not ideology. The Vienna Declaration states that the criminalization of illicit drug users is fueling the HIV epidemic and has resulted in overwhelmingly negative health and social consequences. Dr. Evan Wood, an internal medicine physician working at St. Paul's Hospital in Vancouver, and Dr. Julio Montaner, director of the British Columbia Center for Excellence in HIV/AIDS, joined several high-profile speakers in Washington during the 19th International AIDS Conference in July 2012 in calling for an end to the war on drugs. At the Summit of the Americas in Colombia in April 2012, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper said, "I think what everyone believes and agrees with, and to be frank myself, is that the current approach is not working, but it is not clear what we should do." In the meantime, critics and observers of the Canadian government's policies on drugs continue to challenge the government to develop the political will and courage to change. We're joined on the phone by Dan Werb, co-founder of the International Center for Science in Drug Policy.
Welcome to People First Radio, Dan.
Thanks so much for having me.
Dan, there's now evidence that the war on drugs is driving much of the global AIDS pandemic. Tell us how that is happening. What's been discovered?
Right. So you're exactly correct. Outside of Africa, one in three HIV infections is now the result of injection drug use through people sharing used syringes. And what we've seen is that in areas, in countries where there is a high degree of criminalization of drug use, such as Russia, injection drug use-driven HIV epidemics have skyrocketed. So at this point in Russia, it's estimated that there are over 1 million people who are infected with HIV, and that 90% of them have been infected through injection drug use. So what happens is when drug use is criminalized through the war on drugs, it creates an even less safe environment for drug use by driving drug users underground away from treatment and leading to unsafe practices like needle sharing that increases the risk of transmitting infectious diseases, including HIV. And there are other knock-on effects, including high rates of overdose, less access to health care, less access to treatment, as I mentioned, and obviously this massive epidemic of incarceration that we've seen, which has disproportionately affected minority populations, such as Aboriginal individuals in Canada and African-American individuals in the United States.
Tell us more about the Vienna Declaration. It's a couple years old now. What does it declare?
Right. So the Vienna Declaration is a scientific statement, and that's, I think, very important because it's not just a call to action, but it's a scientific statement detailing why the science is completely incontrovertible in this area. There's now been three decades of research on the impact of the war on drugs on the health and well-being of injection drug users and, frankly, all drug users. And what we found is that, the science, there's absolutely no doubt at this point that the way forward is implementation of a public health-oriented framework to tackle the harms related to drug use. And the incredible thing about a public health framework is that when implemented in the proper way, it also respects the human rights of all people involved and all individuals who use drugs and don't use drugs. Now, it's a really important statement because it's a scientific statement and it's the first of its kind really addressing in a scientific, rigorous way the need for scientists in particular, the people who are experts in this field, who have studied this field, to become engaged in the advocacy around reforming our drug policies. Because scientists are generally skeptical and cautious when it comes to advocating for their positions. But when it comes to something like the war on drugs, which all the research, as I say, it's so evident that we need an absolutely new way, new paradigm of looking at these things. It's impossible for scientists to remain silent. And we saw this with the overwhelming support that the Vienna Declaration received, with over, I think, at last count, it was 23,000 individuals and scientific organizations and community-led organizations that supported this call. So it just shows that there's this massive groundswell of support. And what we hoped and what has happened is that it really has engaged the scientific community to take this issue and not be afraid of you know, stating bluntly what the implications of their research is when it comes to drug policy, and especially when it comes to HIV transmission, which is that we need a new set of policies driven by the science, oriented in human rights and public health.
This is People First Radio, only on CHLY 101.7 FM and streaming at chly.ca.
The global war on drugs is driving the HIV/AIDS pandemic among people who use drugs and their sexual partners throughout the world. Research has consistently shown that repressive drug law enforcement practices forces drug users away from public health services and into hidden environments where HIV risk becomes markedly elevated. Mass incarceration of nonviolent drug offenders also plays a major role in increasing HIV risk. Aggressive law enforcement practices targeting drug users have also been proven to create barriers to HIV treatment. A report of the High-Level Global Commission on Drug Policy states that the war on drugs has also led to a policy distortion, whereby evidence-based addiction treatment and public health measures have been downplayed or ignored. We're speaking with Dan Werb, co-founder of the International Center for Science in Drug Policy.
Dan, you wrote an online article for the Huffington Post, and you began with Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper's comment at the Spring 2012 Summit of the Americas in Colombia. And I'll repeat that. We started our segment with that earlier, too. I think what everyone believes and agrees with, and to be frank myself, is that the current approach is not working, but it is not clear what we should do. Dan Werb, tell us more about that comment.
You know, I think it was a remarkably candid moment for our prime minister, and I was quite pleased to hear him state that. He stated it in Colombia, which, as many of your listeners will know, was the site of horrific drug-related violence in the 1990s when drug law enforcement and military force was used to dismantle two massive drug cartels that were heavily engaged in cocaine trafficking into the United States and Canada. And I think it was interesting in that context, because what we've seen emerging in Latin America quite recently is a movement among sitting elected officials, so not former elected officials, but currently elected officials, which is quite new, who are all stating pretty much the same thing, which is we cannot maintain the status quo. The status quo is not working. In particular, Latin America, the Andean region, is the site of a massive cocaine production and trafficking industry. And the whole region has been so deeply affected by the drug trade in a million different ways, in particular through high levels of violence and through the spread of addiction and infectious diseases like HIV. So it's come to a point where even though Latin America is historically an area where the United States holds a lot of influence, the problems have become so dire that elected officials are now standing up to the United States, which has been the major exporter of a war on drugs model, and stating simply that they cannot abide by the current status quo. So Stephen Harper was at a Summit of Americas where these issues were on the table and being discussed in a frank and open way. And I think that, you know, like every politician and every policymaker and scientist and everyone who has seen the data, which shows that the amount, the supply of drugs has only increased in North America and throughout the Americas in the last 20 years. Anyone who's seen this data collected by governments showing this massive increase in the supply can clearly see that the current system of drug deterrence, of seizures, of arresting street-level dealers simply isn't working, and that something needs to be done. Unfortunately, our prime minister seems to be married to, you know, a tough-on-crime approach, which I think is actually a bit of a misnomer, because simply putting more street-level drug users, drug dealers in prison isn't really tough on organized crime. I think if you really want to get tough on organized crime, you have to think creatively about removing their income sources. I think that's when you're really going to see a change.
Dan, we just have time for one more quick question. You write in your Huffington Post article, "The Prime Minister Harper's recognition of the futility of Canada's drug policies represents a potential turning point." You've been speaking in that direction, and that he should be supported in seeking a viable alternative to the broken status quo. What is happening right now to help push that change along, or to help, in other words, support the Prime Minister in making change?
Well, certainly I can speak to the BC context, where there's been a number of different models for success that have been achieved. First of all, we've modeled for the rest of the world treatment as prevention, which is a way of tackling drug-related harms through expanding HIV treatment and thereby reducing the amount of viral load in people's bodies that they could potentially transmit to other individuals. And there's also been an initiative called the Stop the Violence Coalition, which I'm a part of as well as Dr. Evan Wood, which is looking in D.C. to create a conversation and a debate around the fact that we've seen that the enforcement of cannabis laws, the criminalization of cannabis, has only increased the level of violence, because individuals in the cannabis trade, because of its very illegality, have an incentive to use violence to hold on to their trade. And what we are looking at is promoting a regulatory system in which cannabis would be treated under a public health framework similar to tobacco, to reduce availability, access, particularly among young people, and to get the trade away from organized crime and the tools used by organized crime, which are these increasingly brazen daytime shootings and homicides, which I think are frankly deplorable, and as many of your listeners certainly, I think, agree with. And it's really a time at this point to look to the future and recognize the current failures, and to work with organizations like Stop the Violence BC in crafting new policies that really reflect the sanctity of our community health and safety, which I don't believe our current laws do.
Dan Werb, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. It was much appreciated.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Dan Werb is co-founder of the International Center for Science and Drug Policy. He's also a senior research assistant with the British Columbia Center for Excellence in HIV/AIDS. You can find out more about drug policy and its relationship to HIV at the International Center for Science and Drug Policy website. That is icsdp.org. You can find out more about the Vienna Declaration online at viennadeclaration.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.